Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a story and a half. We're going to go over to America and we're going to speak to Bill Bean, who has got two books out, the most amazing story. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Pete. Thank you so much for having me on. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on with you.
You've written two books. Tell us why and what the subject matter is.
Oh, it's just amazing. It really is, brother. I've experienced some of the most horrific things that a human being can experience in their lifetime. And through it all, I've truly been blessed. God has pulled me out of these terrible things and has delivered me. And my life is far more blessed than it's ever been cursed. But some of these experiences that I have had, I wouldn't wish on anyone.
Now, we haven't got too long to talk about it, and I know it's out of a story. Why have you written two books? Tell us about the first one first.
Well, the first one is called Dark Force, and that story is about my childhood. My family and I were we grew up in an area. I grew up in an area called Glen Burnie, Maryland, and we moved into a three-bedroom ranch-style home, and there was an evil force there that greatly contributed to the destruction of my family. And certainly tried to destroy me over the years as well. And just horrific, Pete, really. The Discovery Channel did a one-hour broadcast on my story, and it aired on September 7, 2006, the Series A Haunting, and the episode is called House of the Dead.
Bill, I've got to ask you, did you ever find out why they picked on you?
Well, I think what happened, to be honest with you, I think something very evil attached to my mother and her side of the family, because I found out long after I'd written Dark Force, I found out some additional information, and some of the info I found out was that my mother did have paranormal supernatural experiences in her childhood, and they had moved around quite a bit, and she actually, as an adolescent, lived in that area not far from where the house was that we had moved into. So she had already had previous exposure to evil, and I believe that someone did something many, many years ago to open a doorway, whether it had been a family curse or someone conjuring a demon or calling on a demon. Someone did something to bring this dark force forward. So I think that's why we were so devastated, because we had this force, this evil force that had already attached to my mother and her side of the family, and I believe that evil force led us to that house where evil was already manifested. So I've often said that we were in the middle of a two-pronged attack from evil, and that's why it was so severe.
When you say about the problems, did it happen every single day? Were there any times that you had peace of mind?
There were times that they were few and far between, to be quite honest with you. We were under so much tension and stress. I mean, we were just totally defeated mentally, spiritually, and physically. Now, my parents both believed in God, but we didn't have any religious upbringing at all. We had never once attended church as children. We were never baptized. So, therefore, we truly didn't know God or His Word. And so we were kind of hanging in the wind in that aspect and respect of it. But, you know, my parents were both good people. My father was a master carpenter, and this house was kind of semi-dilapidated, Pete. Like I said, we moved there in 1970, and my father, being a master carpenter, saw this as a restoration project, and that's exactly what he did. But it wasn't long after moving in that my father's character and demeanor had begun an abrupt change. He went from a wonderful family man who was a social drinker. He had turned into a raging alcoholic, and I'm sorry to say that he physically abused my mother on a regular basis between 1973 and 1975.
And do you put this down to the demon and demonic forces in the house?
No question about it, because I was witness to this, and I can recall being 8 years old, having to run and call the police on my father. Based on what I saw, I have no doubt that while he was under the influence of alcohol, these demonic entities were able to actually fuel his rage towards my mother, and he nearly killed her.
Was there any talk of leaving the house?
Yeah, well, he never admitted or wanted to discuss any of it with any of us. And he did confide in my mother's mother that he was seeing apparitions, and there's no question about it that he was under attack. And my sister was the first to leave. She ran away in the middle of the night in 1973, and she married a young man in the neighborhood. She stated that she would have done anything and married anyone just to get out of there. She couldn't take it anymore. So it seemed like after she left, that's when things really started coming on to my father as far as him being under attack. And I guess his way of dealing with it was to go to the drink. And, you know, he had his own business. He was a contractor and master carpenter and a contractor. And he started hanging out in bars and drinking very heavily and then, you know, staying out all the time. And I guess that was his way of coping with it. But unfortunately, he would come home in these drunken stupors. And like I said, I believe that these demonic entities really were lying in wait for him and fueling his rage against my mother, because she truly suffered more than any other person I've ever seen in my life.
Bill, did you ever have times where you thought of bringing a priest in to have the house exorcised?
Well, that's a very good question. Now, my father left us in 1975. Thank God he did, because, like I said, had he stayed, he would have killed my mother. So when he left, it got worse. You know, with him being the strong authority figure out of the house, I have a younger brother, and so it was my younger brother and my mother and I. We were left in the house, and my mother was suffering severe physical attacks from these entities after my father left. So we had gotten a priest involved. The last 16 months that we lived in the house, we had a priest involved, and it had gotten to the point to where he was bringing mason jars full of holy water to the house.
So did you eventually leave the house?
Yes, we did. We left the house in 1980.
And did you? I've got to ask this, because I'm sure, people will be curious about this. When you sold the house, did you inform the people who were buying it what they were getting into?
Well, let me back up. We never sold the house because we lost the house. When my father left us in 1975, he wasn't sending any money home. And I didn't mention this to you. My mother was very ill the entire time we lived in the house. Uh-huh. She was suffering from high blood pressure, which led to a series of strokes, which ultimately led to kidney failure. So she was unable to work. And I'm ashamed to tell you that, you know, with my dad not sending any money home, he had left and moved to Florida, which was about 1,000 miles from where we were. And by him not sending any money home, we ended up losing the house. And we had to go on welfare. I'm ashamed to tell you that. And the house was auctioned off in the front yard. And the man that bought the house in the auction knew of my mother's circumstances and allowed us to stay there on a pay-as-you-can-when-you-can basis. And that's the most frequently asked question. You know, why did you stay so long? And that's the reason. You know, my mother's mother wanted us to come live with her. She and my step-grandfather had a one-bedroom apartment. My mother was not going to burden her with us, and her and my step-grandfather. And my mother's sister wanted us to come stay with her, but she had 8 children and a husband. And again, my mother was not going to burden anyone.
Bill, is the house still there?
The house is still there. I was once offered $50,000 to return to that house for 10 days with a camera crew, and I turned it down.
Wow.
There is a family living there. I don't know the people, but I've heard a lot of stories, and I've heard that these people are telling people that they haven't experienced anything, but then I hear stories to the contrary. And then I found out something very interesting as well, from a very reliable source, that the previous occupants of the house prior to us had done something really mind-boggling. They built walls over top of the existing walls in the house. And I always thought it was so strange, because this house had very thick, solid walls, and the house had a very ominous and foreboding look on the outside. Well, it had, you know, the same sort of look on the inside, because the walls were paneled with this dark brown paneling, so there was very little light in the house, even in the daytime. And the walls were so solid in that house. And houses in that area, I had been in many, you know, houses in that area, and all of those walls were very thin. You know, it would be very easy for one to put a hole through a wall, you know, the walls in the other houses except for our house, and I could never figure that out. And then I was given that information that those people had actually built walls over top of the existing walls in the house.
Before we talk about the second book, give us one example, a short example, of how horrendous this demon was.
My goodness, I could give you many. I guess in my mother's case, it had gotten to the point, after my father had left us in 1975, it had gotten to the point to where she couldn't even sleep in her bed anymore. She had to sleep in with us. My younger brother and I shared the bedroom before hers, and these things were coming to her in the middle of the night and waking her up, and they were choking her. And so my mother always had marks and bruises and scratches on her long after my father left. And these things were assaulting her on a regular basis. And one night, after being assaulted by one of these foul entities, she gathered enough strength up to get out of bed and walk up. Now, the way this house is laid out, you would walk in through the front door into a living room, and then you would make a right down a long hallway, and that would lead to the bedrooms and the bathroom. And one night, as my mother had just been assaulted by one of these entities, she was gasping for air and wanted to go and get a drink of water, and she made it out to the kitchen, all the way up the hallway into the kitchen to get a glass of water. When she opened the cupboard, something, an unseen force, shot one of the glasses out like a projectile out of the cabinet, and it struck my mother above her right eye, and she was knocked unconscious, and she had to go to the hospital and get stitches. So these attacks were brutal.
Bill, did you ever see them? Did you see the beings?
I experienced them. I was attacked as well.
Yeah, but did you see the beings? Did you see
absolutely, I did.
How would you describe them?
In 1979, and this was that, and I'm trying to be brief. I know we don't have a whole lot of time. In 1979, I had just gotten back from Florida, and I had visited my father and his brother down there, and my uncle was very religious. And we had a long discussion about God and how we can take power and authority over demons in the name of Jesus Christ. So I got back into Maryland, and the very day I get back, my mother had been attacked again, picked up by an unseen force and hurled through the air from one side of her bedroom to the other, landing in her makeup table, and she was busted open, cut and scratched and bruised. And at this point in time, we had that priest involved. Now, my family were not Catholic, but my step-grandfather was, and he went to his priest at the church, and that's how the Catholic Church got involved. And so after seeing my mother attacked like that, something just snapped inside of me, and I grabbed a Bible and a jar of that holy water, and I began to go through the house. Now, I was 13 years old at the time, and there were five adults with me. They were terrified. I should have been terrified as well, but I wasn't. And I began to call these entities out in the name of Jesus Christ. And as I was doing this, it was like the house started shaking. It was like a mini earthquake. And things were falling off the walls, flying around. Doors were slamming. And again, these five adults were absolutely terrified. No one was saying anything except for me. And I continued on calling these things out in the name of Jesus Christ. And at one point in the living room, several feet in front of me as I was doing this, four entities materialized, and the first had the look of what we call him the Undertaker. It had the look of an old-time Undertaker, I guess, black suit, black beard, black hair. The skin was very, very pale, and the eyes were black, very sinister-looking entity, and this is one of two entities that were assaulting my mother on a regular basis. The second entity had the look of a male, curly red hair, short curly red hair, and again, this very ashen, pale skin, scar down the left side of the face, and the eyes were black. And the third entity was a female, had the look of a witch, very sharp facial features, long dark hair, and a long black gown, And again, the eyes were black, very sinister. And then the fourth entity, if you look at my book, Dark Force, there is a depiction on there of this hooded entity, and that's exactly what it's derived from, this this dark form. And it's like a dark hooded form with no discernible features other than a set of red eyes.
Bill, and, I've got to stop you there because we talked about the Dark Force. Why a second book?
Well, because the story continued from there. I've had many, many experiences in my adult years, including a 22-day demonic possession to a loved one where I actually engaged in physical battle against these spiritual and physical battle against these demonic forces.
So, Bill, are you saying that they're following you, or are these a different force?
Yeah, well, not now, brother, I'll tell you that, because I am free from it, and there's only one deliverer, and that is Jesus Christ. And I can never thank God and praise God enough for freeing me from it. But
When were you freed? How long ago?
I would say I wasn't truly free from it until 2008, when my wife and I went and got baptized. And when we made our covenant with Jesus Christ through a fully submerged baptism, all of that garbage stopped, and I haven't had any problems since, praise God, and I won't have any more of that garbage in my life.
Do you think these two books were therapy for you, to write it down?
Oh, absolutely, and I pray that God, I really think, Pete, to be honest with you, I think God has worked through me to reach out to others who are having these types of experiences to let them know there is hope. And there is a God, and there is a Jesus Christ, and we can be delivered from this garbage. And unfortunately, just as we know there's a God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, there is a Satan, and he does have demons, and they try to destroy us. And I'm a living witness to this, and what I say is true. And I tell you, I help people all over the place. I get messages from people all over the country, and in your country, and in other countries.
Tell me how they can find you.
www.billbean.net. Send me an email. I answer every single email. I'm up late every night answering emails. And you can also contact me through www.billbean.biz as well. And, you know, please, I encourage people to contact me because I do have answers. And they're not my answers. I take no credit for anything. It's all God. I give him all the praise and glory, but I do have answers. And for anyone who's having problems, I urge you to contact me because I can help.
Bill, give us the websites again.
It is www.billbean.net.
One more question.
Sure.
What do you want people to take from both these books? What is the overall message that you want them
the
to take?
The overall message is hope and faith because we can be, I'm a living witness, the awesome power of God, and we can be delivered from the worst of circumstances. Take it from me.
Bill Bean, thank you very much.
Thank you, my brother. God bless, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show, Late Night City, with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.